If you want to take out your inserts in the bulletin, we're about ready to start part four of our end times study. But I want to just take a couple of minutes and just address something that I've kind of talked about this with the Lord all week and don't have anything prepared because I was hoping he would change my mind about doing. I wanted to do a message on this sometime after I do the end times study. But certainly some stuff that's been in the news this all week, and every time I turn on my computer, it comes up in my news feed. And it's something that I think maybe pastors should be addressing today. And let's just commit the service to the Lord right now, but specifically this time. Father, I thank you that we can study your word. And Lord, even when things don't go well and with the music and things don't go as planned, this is still your church, this is still your service, and we ask you to be glorified in it. We pray as we look at the end times that you would teach us, but Lord, for these next few moments, just help us to be sensitive and to be aware of what's going on in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to back up to last Sunday when we talked about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. We said there were a couple churches that were doing well. The Church of Philadelphia was doing well, but there were several churches that we said were compromising and allowing the world to spill into them. And then Sunday night in youth group, we've been doing a series on Philippians, and Dr. Sayre, it was his turn to teach, and he just said, I'm just going to do what I was going to do the week before at the Super Bowl party when we canceled our youth group. So Dr. Sayre talked to the teens about purity, about sexuality, and talked about, as a doctor, all the different venereal diseases and sexually transmitted diseases that were out there. Every day this past week, stuff's been coming up about a new movie that's out called The 50 Shades of Grey. And I debated whether to even say anything to our church, but someone had put on, not from here, but someone that's friends with me on Facebook had put on that a group of ladies from their church, and I think this is because I Googled this, a lot of Christians are involved in this. A group of ladies from their church already had it planned out that they were going to go see 50 Shades of Grey together. And I just want to talk to you about that. Just want to talk to you about, as your pastor, don't see it. Don't read the book. I've never read it. So if you say, well, Pastor Ron, you've never read the book. There's a lot of books I haven't read that I wouldn't recommend to people that I've heard about. And I just want to talk to you. If you're thinking about it, don't see it. Let me see if you've already seen it this weekend. I think you need to repent of that. But if you've seen it, I think you need to apologize to your husband. And I think you need to apologize to your kids. Because what this movie promotes from what everything is being talked about is really violence against women. And it's interesting, people who've been here for a while know I've come down on men and addressed men as far as getting involved in pornography. And it's pornography when it involves a man, and they call it erotica when it's referred to a woman. But everything I've read about this, it's hardcore pornography on the screen for 90 minutes or 2 hours, whatever the movie goes. And I just want to just challenge you to be aware of what's out there. And hopefully none of you have seen it, but if you have, again, I need to apologize. You need to talk to your spouse and say, if your spouse went with you, I guarantee you, and this is what some of the things that Christians were blogging, it's going to better our marriage. It's going to make our intimacy better. It's not going to do that. It's filth, and it's satanic stuff, and it's just going to weaken you. And just as it does to a man, the same thing is going to happen to a woman. It used to be said, when I was a kid, you go in the store, you can look but don't touch. Remember that saying, you can look but don't touch? Don't look. Don't look at this stuff. Be aware of how divisive and how dangerous it is for anybody to be involved in that. On the news the other day, they were asking what should be the age limit. It's an R-rated movie. Back when we were kids, what would that have been rated? X. We were an X-rated movie. Now it's an R-rated movie. And they were talking about, they were just showing people going into the movie theater with 12-year-old girls. And I was thinking, what's that going to do to these girls down the road? What's that going to have in their mind as they picture a woman being tied up and handcuffed? What's that going to do to a girl? Is she going to expect every man to treat her that way? Be aware of what is going on in our society. And they're saying that this is going to be the highest grossing movie of any weekend, this weekend. It came out Friday, I believe. And they were talking about it maybe making $75 to $100 million. Christians should not be contributing to that. Dr. Dobson had something on the other day on Focus on the Family that came up on Facebook. He said, rather than spending $10 or $15, whatever it would cost you to go to the movie, give it to a homeless shelter. Give it to your church. But don't go to it. And ladies, I just want to spend just a few minutes praying about that our society would be aware of the dangers of messing around with stuff like that. And before you say, well, Pastor, you're being legalistic, legalistic would be saying, I was brought up in a legalistic home. Where going to any movie was wrong. That is legalism. Where you go and say, you can't go to any movie because you're not a Christian if you do that. Or if I stood up and say, you can't be a Christian and see 50 Shades of Grey, that's legalism. But as your pastor, I'm warning you from God's word, you don't see it. Don't entertain it. Don't read the book. Don't have discussions with people. Don't laugh at work when your friends talk about all the scenes that embarrass them in 50 Shades of Grey. And there's people coming out, and they're interviewing them, and they're saying, oh, I was so embarrassed by some of the things I saw. Christians should be not embarrassed. We should just be turned off. We should be enraged by it, that this stuff is being promoted. And I just want to just spend a few minutes just praying for our society. I know it's playing down at Wellsboro. And I thought, man, maybe pastors should just go out and stand in front of the door and just watch and see who goes in there. We need to embarrass people because obviously they're not being embarrassed by what they see. And we need to talk to them about God's word and God's grace and what God intended for the marriage bed. And it's not the stuff that's being promoted by 50 Shades of Grey. As a matter of fact, because of the income that's supposed to be generating, they're calling it 50 Shades of Green. And that's something I read on one of the Christian websites, is that women are saying, well, this is really just a gray area. It's not a gray area. God is very black and white. God says sex is between a husband and wife. What's done there is nothing off limits. But we need to be aware of the pornography and the stuff that Satan's promoting in our society. So if we could just have a couple of you pray and let's just commit our nation to the Lord, but specifically our town, that people would be aware and just say, I'm not going to go to it, and take that stand that integrity and goodness and morality would override some of the views of some of these people going to that movie. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of you a chance to pray, and then I'll close and we'll get started.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this time of just honesty, Lord, just to set these few moments aside, just to talk to the church kind of as their pastor, and just reminding them of the dangers that are out there. And I pray, Lord, that you would help Christians to take a stand against things like this and not be involved in it. And Lord, if some of them have, Lord, help them again to understand what they've done to their spouse and to their children and their kids that are looking at them going to this and knowing they went. And Lord, to their friends who know they're Christians, and yet they see them taking part in something like this. We just pray that that we wouldn't look at this as being a legalistic speech from me, but it would be understanding that it's coming from you and your word. And we can back up what we've said here in your word, that that you designed marriage to be perfect and to be intimate between a man and a woman, not two men, not two women, not people who aren't married, but between a husband and wife. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as Christians to be a light. And then, Lord, just help people to have the guts and the fortitude, if they're going to that movie, not thinking about it, when they see the stuff that's on there, to have the guts to walk out and, Lord, to take a stand that way. But we pray for our town that that morality and morals would and standards would come back in. And we just pray your will would be done. Guide and direct in the remainder of our service, Lord, be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are talking about the end times, and this morning we're talking specifically about Israel, but what we just talked about, those last few moments, really are, I believe, a sign of the end times. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, and morality is going to be less and less. But specifically today, obviously one of the main countries in our news today, anytime you turn it on, is the nation of Israel. The nation's attacked and criticized in the media. Our president refuses to meet with the prime minister just this past week. And I've said before, the day that America turns its back on Israel is the day that we cease to become a relevant nation. And I believe, sadly, that that's what's happening. I also believe Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon fashioned against Israel will prosper, will stand." And I fully believe that. And as you read through Scripture, we did a story last year. God deals with governments, and how he deals with governments is revealed in his word. And it really from the beginning of time. And the end times is especially important as it talks about man's self-destruction. We're going to get into how God destroys the world a little bit later and talk about the great tribulation and all that's to come. But the more that man and the more that nations turn away from God's word, the more we're going to begin to understand that we really are living in the last days. Someone put it this way, it's really boiling down to the nations of earth versus God himself. And that's not going to be an epic battle. It's not the nations of earth stand a chance against God, but they believe they do. And the nations of earth are very cocky, very arrogant, and they think that they can stand opposing God. But prophecy certainly talks about that, and prophecy certainly talks about the nation of Israel. And we see news cameras are everywhere. Sometimes dozens of news agencies are dealing with the same story. And Daniel prophesied that. You can just, I don't know if I put that in your notes, but Daniel 12:4, just write that down somewhere in the margin. He prophesied, "Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." That's Daniel in his prophecy saying, knowledge is going to increase, but I want to tell you, just because knowledge increases doesn't mean it has anything to do with truth, with a capital T. Worldviews are really built upon lies. They become skewed because of lies in our media and those who deny God's word. The truth from God's word suffers because of the lies and the blindness of man. And I can almost guarantee, that I will guarantee this, if you watch the news and you get your truth from NBC or what's his name, the one who just admitted lying, if you get your truth from people like that, your truth is not going to be 100%. And we need to understand that we need to turn to God's word to find our biblical foundation, to find our foundation for worldviews. And the prevalent worldview is that the nation of Israel does not deserve to be a nation. But we certainly believe just the opposite of that. So the first thing we have in your notes, and we're not going to get through all of this, and I knew we weren't even if I hadn't taken that time this morning. We'll finish this up some next week. But a history of enemies. Israel has had enemies from day one. World diplomats, world leaders, the global media dismiss what the Bible has to say about Israel. Dismiss that Israel, the Bible says that they belong in that region that God has given them, that they are God's chosen people. And the media says they don't belong in that area that's now known as Palestine. But no other nation in the Middle East has, in that Middle East region, has been in that area longer than the Jews. At times they've been there in large numbers of people, and other times smaller numbers. But and in spite of being scattered throughout the world, throughout their history, the Jews have lived in that area for more than 3,000 years. And Israel has very few friends in the world today. And even some of them are not treating them like the allies that they would say. And I'm talking about America, obviously, with that. But Israel-Arab relations dominate the headlines, and almost is very biased against Israel when you read it. But none of the news today takes God by surprise. In Psalms chapter 83, it's in verses 1 to 8, and I just have the first four verses up here. But listen to what Asaph, the psalmist, said as he was given this vision from God. And I believe the God that he's talking about here, the one that he is referring to, is Allah. I believe this is very much referring to the Muslim Islamic terrorists. But it says, O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They have shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. That's, they're talking, the nation is talking to God about themselves. They're talking about, we know we're your people, God, and they've conspired against us, your treasured ones. Verse 4, they have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. Then the nation of Israel will be remembered no more. Do we hear that? Man, we see that in the news all the time. The Muslims, Islamic terrorists, not only hate America, they hate the Jews. They probably hate the Jews more than they hate America because they're in their region. But it says, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. They have made a covenant. This is verse 5. It's not up on the screen. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. You see, there's good reason for this building of anxiety amongst the Jewish people. Israel's terrorists to the neighbor or to the north, terroristic neighbors to the north have bombs that are pointed, nuclear weapons and missiles that. And the devices to deliver them. And there's no question where those missiles are pointed to. The direction that when they're set off, they're going to try and wipe out Israel, wipe them out as a nation, as the psalmist says. If Iran is ever successful in producing the weapons of mass destruction that they want, Israel's cry, which I have in your notes here, the Jews' motto today is never again. Never again. They say that because they have come up as a nation, and I had heard that, and I looked it up, and it was certainly a fact. Since they've become a nation, they've said, never again will we submit and allow the genocide of what happened under Hitler happen to us again. Never again. They will never allow an enemy to do what was done to them in the Holocaust. Yet, that is exactly what the enemies of Israel desire to do today. I want to put up just the next four or five screens, show something pretty amazing. It's 109 nations that have expelled Israel from their borders. 109 nations that have expelled Israel out of their country, beginning in 250 BC. And I don't know if you can see it all, but this wasn't meant for you to take notes on it or anything. You can Google it. You can find it yourself online. You might even be able to find it in some books. But beginning in 250, Carthage, Alexandria in 415, 1182, they were kicked out of France. 1182 later, they were kicked out of Germany. 1290, they were kicked out of England. Hungary in 1349 and again in 1360. 1370, Belgium. All these different countries all the way down. 1492 in Spain, when America was becoming a nation, Israel was being kicked out of Spain. 1492, Italy. 1495, Lithuania. 1533 and 1541, Naples. On down, 1582, the Netherlands. Hungary, Kiev in 1619. Ukraine in 1648. Russia in 1727. Again, Lithuania in 1753. And then this is the most recent. Bordeaux, Warsaw, Russia, Moscow, Bavaria, Nazi-controlled areas from 1938 to 1945, and the Arab countries dismissed them in 1948. This is all a result of Israel's disobedience to the Lord. God had told them that. God had warned them that they were going to face consequences if they pursued other gods, and that's certainly what happened. But they were ruled by Rome in Christ's day, and they rebelled in AD 70. This is some things, some statistics that kind of go along with the screen here. In AD 70, 250,000 of them were killed. They rebelled again in 135 AD, and Rome smashed them, killing more than more and scattering them throughout their empire. Forcibly expelled from England in 1290 and from France in 1360. From 1648 to 1658, they said over 400,000 Jews were massacred. From 1939 to 1945, how many is it estimated? Anybody know how many they estimate Jews died under Hitler? About 4 million, they believe. 4 million Jews were killed during that time. So as you look through Israel's history from Genesis on up to what we look at here, we can see that Egyptian pharaohs hated them. Assyrian kings, we're talking about that in our study on the book of Isaiah, how the Assyrians were coming after them. Babylonian rulers, Persian leaders, Greek leaders, Roman emperors, Roman Catholic pontiffs, medieval monarchs, Christian crusaders, Spanish inquisitors, Nazi dictators, communist czars, Arab sheikhs, and this list even said the United Nations delegates come against the Jews, yet they are still here. Yet they're still a nation. Unbelievably, they have survived all this. If you were to walk through the Holocaust Museum, and I've mentioned this before, if you've never done that, do that. They take you up to the top, and then you walk down. But you walk through it and you just see all these black and white films. It's all on television and computers and movie type things. And you just see all the different nations that have attacked Israel and come at them with heavy weaponry. And assuming the Jews were going to be wiped out because of the vast manpower that came against them. And they didn't. They didn't succumb. It's always been God who has fought for them. And I believe that this motto of the Jewish people, that they're never going to again let themselves become enslaved to regimes that want to wipe them out, never again falls under the guidelines of protection from Almighty God. The leaders in our world today, certainly in our own country, don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. and therefore they don't believe what the Bible has to say about this nation of Israel. World leaders understand that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, will do anything to fight to protect their country, but they don't think they can stand up against 4 billion Muslim terrorists. The sheer volume of, again, enemy is amazing. And our president, our government will accuse Israel but not offend a Muslim. And I want to tell you, folks, I'm not proud of our country. I'm not proud of the nation we live in. When our own president refuses to meet with Netanyahu but bend over backwards to appease Muslim leaders, that's the beginning of the end for our nation. But what's up with Israel? We've looked at some of their history of enemies, and we're just going to look at the first couple on our list here of current enemies. On your list there, current enemies and nations in prophecy. And we'll probably just look at one, maybe two this morning, and then finish this up next week. But the Bible's pretty specific when it gives descriptions of nations before Christ's return. Obviously, the names aren't the same as they are today. They're not referred to in the Bible as Russia or China or Turkey. But we know because of the descriptions, not me. I'm not a biblical scholar. But scholars who have studied this know what nations are intended. And many of them believe that it's part of what the European Union is talking about. The European Parliament meets monthly, on a pretty regular basis anyway, and it's really kind of taken away the sovereignty of each of those nations, this parliament that oversees these countries, members of the European Union. Many scholars believe that's what's prophesied in Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 to 13. Let me read this to you. It says, "The ten horns..." And that's, again, what they believe, the ten kings who are economic powers. "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings from the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast." That's talking about the beast that comes during the Great Tribulation, the beast that will have all the power, will kill many believers. But we'll look first, and this will probably be the only one we get to, is the nation of Russia. And it's Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 to 4. And let me just read what this says. A lot of this is in Ezekiel, as you look down your list there. But Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 to 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, and all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords." So what Ezekiel is saying here is this land of Gog and Magog, who we believe is modern-day Russia, and Rosh is the ancient name of the modern country we know as Russia today. The other names are areas that are around Russia, but it's talking about what they believe, that Russia is going to be one of the key components of who is going to lead the attack against Israel in the end times. Could it be Putin? Certainly. As you look at the news today, you see Russia is just gaining power, gaining strength. We thought when the Iron Curtain came down and it was no longer the Soviet Russia, Soviet Union, that maybe they were weakened. But look around and you ask some of their neighbors, let's say Ukraine. Is it Ukraine that they're fighting right now? Is that you ask Ukraine if Russia's been weakened? I don't believe our own president wants to stand up to Putin. You look around what's going on, and you read the Word of God. And I just wish that pastor back in 1975 when I started this said, when I take the paper in one hand and the Bible in the other, if God doesn't come back or Christ doesn't come back by 1975, I'm going to ask him what went wrong. We can't set a date, but as we read the newspaper or we watch the news and we take the Bible in the other hand, he's got to be coming back at some point soon. I can't set a date, and I won't. It might not be for 100 years. I don't know. But when you read it and you see what's going on and you have an eye open to what the Word of God says, the news is exciting. It's not frightening. It shouldn't be terrifying to us as believers to be living in this time. It should be exciting and saying, man, I know where I'm going. I know because my God, if he is so accurate in filling out all these details, then how accurate is he about my salvation? How accurate is he from the rest of the Word of God? God is God and God is awesome. And when we look at the news, look at it through eyes in Scripture. We're not going to finish up any more of these this week. But I invite you to take your Bible, look at Ezekiel 38, read about Russia in Revelation 17 or 16, Syria in Isaiah 17. Look at the Scriptures next to these countries and then watch the news with an eye open to the Word of God during this next week and just see how many of these countries are mentioned. What's going on in that? And realize God has it all planned. God is in control of it all. And God has forecast and predicted exactly what's going to happen. He's not taken by surprise when countries do what they do. God is in control. And we have a great God who loves believers. He loves his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And we need to pray. It's never going to happen. We're told to pray for the peace of Israel. It's not going to happen. We're not going to see peace in Israel. But we need to pray for the Jewish people that they continue to remain strong and that many of them turn to Christ as the Messiah. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. We kind of went through it quickly, and maybe it's more of a newsy broadcast rather than some of us looking at it that way. It could have stayed home and just watched the news. But Lord, this is stuff from your Word. And it's exciting, Lord, to understand that what's going on in the world today was predicted 2,000 years ago. You understood it all 4,000 years ago when the nation of Israel became a nation, when you said, they're my people, and I want to establish you, and you took them out of the land of Egypt and gave them their own territory. Lord, that's all part of what's happening today, and it's part of the reason why the enemies hate them, is they want that territory that you promised was theirs. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the truth in it. Thank you for the integrity of your Spirit's ministry. And Lord, we just pray that we would come to the news and read newspapers and watch television with open eyes turned to you and seeking your will and your Word. Bless us as we go throughout this week. And then, Lord, as we come back to this study next week, help us have maybe some insight into what your Word says and what is going on in the world. And two, Lord, we pray for what we talked about in the beginning, that Christians would be pure, that we would not compromise in any way, that this church would stand on your Word and lives would be changed in us and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing the hymn number one in our books, but just one verse of Rejoice, the Lord is King.